You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk.
Kevin, it is time for our weekly focus in World of Work on issues that affect you in World of Work. And today we're going to talk about CVs. Many of you are struggling to get jobs and you have to go through the process of applying for them. And the CV can sometimes be a hindrance, can sometimes help you. You don't get rewarded necessarily directly for getting them right, but you certainly do get punished for making obvious mistakes in how you put them together. And so if you've got questions about your CV, things you don't know whether to put them on, where they fit in your experience in the job hunting process, give us a call and we'll try and give you as much advice as we can between now and 11:30. 011-883-0702 in Joburg. And in Cape Town on 021-446-0567. Joining me in the studio is Anja van Beek, who is from Anja van Beek Consulting and Coaching. You can also find her on Twitter at Anja_van Beek. Anja, goeiemôre.
Good morning. Thank you for having me today.
It is only a pleasure. Now, I want to start this conversation by talking about where CVs fit in. There are millions of things that fit into the world of work.
Yeah.
How you look, behave, social media accounts in this day and age that a would-be employer can quickly check in before they decide whether you have the values of the firm, etc., etc., etc. Before we get into the specificity of the actual content and the look and feel of a CV, where does it fit into that overall journey of trying to get employed?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think it's a beautiful place to start looking at personal branding, because as you said, a CV is so close to an individual talking about their skills and their knowledge. But for me, it's a little bit wider than that. It's really about thinking of what is your personal brand and how do you present yourself online and offline. You've mentioned social media, and I think that is the key point. As much as we focus on the paper, the CV, we need to be mindful of how do we, or what's our digital footprint, and how do we come across on social media, and does the two talk to one another? So I think that's a very important starting point to think of what is your brand and what do you stand for.
I think that's so true. And so you've got to think about the CV in holistic terms.
Yeah.
By the time we talk about what you should put down on your CV, we are actually only collating everything else you have done.
Exactly.
In your life?
No, for sure. And I think that is the power of social media. Now, if you think of meeting a person face to face, they say we have 7 seconds to make that first impression. And rightfully, as you said, if you now apply for a role, it's not only the CV that's on the desk, but everything else that you have put out there. And that's why we need to be so mindful and sometimes think out of the box when you're applying for a role.
In your experience in terms of the contemporary world of work, how much significance is still attached when it comes to talent attraction and retention and just HR processes to the proverbial CV when, as you've just alluded, in a digital footprint era,
yeah,
there's so much information of mine out there, which at the click of a button, an executive in HR can quickly decide who is the true Eusebius, not by believing the deliberate process of putting together a CV, which after all is very much me putting my best foot forward, but they can very quickly get a sense of my true character from my photos, my tweets,
my comments, a
Google search, exactly, all of that kind of stuff. So compared to, say, 20 years ago,
yeah,
has there been declining emphasis put on CVs from the recruitment process or not?
I would not say there's a declining focus. However, I think it's rather having that holistic view. Now, as you rightfully pointed out or talk about the retention strategy, now, any company today, if you look at the war for talent, is focus on how do we attract the right talent?
Mm.
How do we retain them and how do we develop them?
Sure.
And I think that is why, as you said, CV is still there. There's a place for them. But if I can perhaps illustrate with an example, about 6 months ago on LinkedIn, I saw a post of a lady in the US. I think she was so innovative because what she's done, she was looking for a role. She did a whiteboard herself. So she used her iPhone and the iMovie technology, and she made a short, I think it was a 2-minute whiteboard drawing of who she is, what's her skills, what she's looking for. I think she got something like 10,500 likes, 700 comments. And last night when I looked, she's now employed at one of the global consulting firms. And I think that is using social media to your benefit, things outside of the box. So something that I haven't really seen in South Africa.
That is so beautiful. I love that example. And yeah. I really hope that in between your stress of finding a job that you will listen to Anya, because when you are worried about waar gaan my rentgeld vandaan kom, then your creativity is not always, you know, maximum. And that example doesn't have to be an example that cost you. There was something wonderful that Andy Rice said on the Bruce Whitfield show, that sometimes some of the most creative solutions that are really valuable are not necessarily the ones that cost you the most in rands and cents. It's about thinking outside the box, how to distinguish yourself.
Exactly. And I think if you think of the way we are in the workplace, the future of work, and as you know, it's volatile, it's uncertain, it's complex. Mm. There's a lot of uncertainty, ambiguity. And the type of worker that companies are looking for is what Accenture called the chameleon worker. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that term.
I'm not, but I'm already liking the imagery.
Yeah, so what that means, a chameleon worker is somebody that can adapt to change quite quickly, that can learn new skills, and that can move from one assignment to the next in a short space of time.
The boring old word, but I like the chameleon one, even though chameleons are sometimes seen as dishonest. We don't mean you must be insincere. But it reminds me of, I suppose, an earlier version of that idea, which is that you need to have agility.
Exactly. Agility in today's workplace is so important.
It's everything,
because what I see in the research is that they say the future of work is a very fine combination of having permanent people or workers combined with freelancers. And that trend increasing. And I think that's why you need to be agile.
Extremely important 10 minutes of hors d'oeuvres. Now let's get to the main meal.
Yes.
What must my CV say? What must it look like? Are there obvious do's and don'ts? And then where's the opportunity for individuation?
So I think start off by thinking of your CV as that's the impression. The person hasn't met you. What they see is what they will get from you. So I think less is more, short and sweet, to the point. A lot of people say, do I have to include a cover letter or not? I've seen some recruiters saying that if I don't have a cover letter, I'm not even interested. But I think the first point is have a structure, have a specific format, but keep it short and sweet.
Then there is this perennial question that you experts have been failing to find consensus on. Do I have one CV or do I have two? My little generic one that I will put on LinkedIn, and then my one tailor-made for this particular person.
Yeah.
So there are some facts about my past that is irrelevant to me applying to Accenture, but if I wanted to apply to Promedia, then I may foreground certain parts of my past that is more relevant to this job application.
Yeah. I think that is such an important technology, and what we see in the HR environment, they use technology to support them in the recruitment process. So it might be that they use an ATS or applicant tracking system. Then they focus on keywords. And that is why I think it's important not to have one generic CV.
Because if you apply
for a specific job, try to look for those key words that they use in the job ad and just alter your CV.
I mean, I think that that makes sense. And it takes a little bit of time, but it helps.
Definitely.
I mean, I do the same as a speaker. If I'm going to go in and talk about, I don't know, what it's like, crisis communication with a corporate client, they really don't need to know that I lectured philosophy.
No.
It's irrelevant.
Definitely.
But if I'm being invited by Wits University to a seminar, we might introduce me by focusing on what I did back in the days when I was trying to be an academic. So you tailor, you know, you don't always have to show off everything in your biography. You've got to make sure the person doesn't get bored, and if they have little time, that they're not snowed under the weight of your 10-pager.
Exactly. And that's why they say 2 pages is usually the guideline to go for. And as you said, make it relevant and specific for their job.
Which Okay, give the tip and then I'm going to ask you the question because I've got one related to that.
No, so thank you. So the tip that I want to give you when you share your experience is called the STAR principle. So they say, look at the situation, what is the action that you have taken, but more specifically, what is the result?
Okay.
So if I can use the example of me telling you I have a solid experience in employee engagement versus I've increased employee loyalty by 10%.
Sure.
You get the difference.
100%.
Bring the result of what you've achieved.
Now, you know, this thing about less is more, it's so difficult for people, especially when you are currently unemployed and you really want to maximize your chances. You think that the most amount of data about yourself that you give to a prospective employer will increase your chances. And of course, it's intuitive, but actually it's not true. Mm-hmm. Because if they have 200 applications for one little job, you need to be pithy and to the point and in a top-down manner, give a story of who you are and just get to the point from the first sentence on the CV, right?
Yeah.
We struggle as we get older with knowing what to exclude about our early life.
Mm.
So what do you say, for example, to Marva, who just can't get over the fact that he was deputy head prefect in primary school?
Yeah.
Like, at what point do you exclude, for example, what happened at school?
Yeah.
You were the chess club captain, and it was useful when you applied for a bursary.
Yeah.
But if I'm now applying to RMB, do they need to know that I was deputy head prefect?
Yeah. No, and I'm laughing as you're saying that, because that is such a good example of being mindful of what you put in there.
Yeah.
And I have to agree, it's not important to say that you were prefect in matric. However, it might be that if you focus on your leadership roles, it might be somewhere in there showing that you have the ability to be leadership, and that's it, you know.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah. But yeah. It's not your obituary.
No, not at all. Definitely less is definitely more in this situation. I mean, think of the recruiter getting 500.
That's such CVs. A good bit of advice. Think of it from the recruiter's perspective.
Yeah.
So how does the recruiter typically behave? They're tired.
So no,
the vacancy hasn't been filled.
Yeah.
So how do they think about working through this like mountain of CVs?
Yeah. So if you ask me, coming from an HR background, the most important, or one of the most important roles, is the recruiter. Why? Because they need to get the right person in the right seat in their company. And for them to work through 500 CVs is really to see what is the potential. You look for the spark. You look for the person that is involved in the community. You look for somebody that you can see shows resilience or what it might be, working through all those CVs to find it. Because when you're a recruiter and you're a good recruiter, you're not only recruiting for the role that you're currently facing, you are looking for other opportunities and perhaps presenting that CV as well to a totally different manager.
Okay. Put on your headphones, Anya, and then we'll take a couple of calls from listeners. We're going to Kibler Park first. Queen, good morning.
Hi, Lucidius, and your guest. My question is it necessary to attach whatever documents that you have, for example, copies of your degrees and whatever? And also, if you have to attach, how long does a certified copy last for?
Okay, I think that's a very valid question. Thank you for raising that. What I've seen in the industry is they don't necessarily ask for the documents up front. It might be if you work via the technology that there's an option for you to attach those documents. But if it's just a CV that you send, it's not necessarily needed at the first submission. However, they will ask for proof at a later stage. With regards to how long the certification goes, to my knowledge, it's about 3 months, but I might be wrong. But yeah, I think the certification is only valid for 3 months.
One from Twitter, Lebohang says, please ask your guest, what is the difference between the words resume and CV, and in turn, what is the difference between these things anyway and a cover letter?
Okay, so CV is the curriculum vitae, so that is the term that is used. And the difference between the two is the cover letter is usually addressed to the person who's doing the recruitment. So that might be, dear recruitment team, thank you for the opportunity to submit my CV, where the CV is very factual, that your qualifications, your job role, your skills, your knowledge. And the other one is just an intro letter addressed to whoever is doing the recruitment.
How short do you keep? And how pithy do you keep the cover letter? Because the dilemma that people go through is How much do I give, if in effect, a narrative summary of the CV on the cover letter?
Yeah. The way that I've recruited, I didn't really look at the cover letter at all. However, okay, looking at stats, they say 4 out of 10 say it's important. But to me, again, if you want to submit, short and sweet.
And then resume and CV, is that just tomato, tomato?
To my knowledge, yes.
Okay. Bonolo, good morning. What is your question?
Hi, CVS. My question to your guest is, how important is it for me to mention the fact that I'm living with a disability on my CV?
Very good question. I'm going to add to that another example. Other facts about you that you are scared will not be known, that should be taken into account. I have a colleague, let's call him for argument's sake, Kuis, who is not white, and he loves including a photo on his CV of himself, lest someone should think, oh, no, this is bad for our BEE, so that they can know that Kuis is in fact black.
Yeah.
Do I put my photo there? Do I declare my race?
Yeah.
Do I declare my disability?
Yeah. So I think let's start with the photo one, because that's an interesting one. I would not recommend including a photo.
Jammer, Kuis.
Yeah, sorry, Kuis, for that one. Simply because why? They can Google if they want to. But, I mean, unless they ask for the photo, I would stay away. And if you want to do one, just don't do a selfie. I mean, at least make it think professional.
Definitely not live.
Yeah. With regards to the disability, that's an interesting one, because I would have advised to say stay away from things like your race or your sexual orientation or even religious, because that's just not relevant. However, the disability might count in your favor. So I think it's something that you can put on there, but yeah.
There are things that are, yeah. You know, in the 1980s, there were just things that people put on there that I now think, I hope we are all suitably embarrassed 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Hobbies,
yeah.
Stamp collecting, reading.
Yeah, it's just not
I'm like,
relevant.
Darling, I'm glad that you read. I would hope so.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want someone in my company who doesn't enjoy reading. Going to church, for example. So things that may speak to your personality may not be relevant to the core function of the job.
Exactly, and I think that's the highlight, relevance, because once you have the opportunity for the interview, that is where they can get to know you as a person.
Okay.
But there's, it's all about capabilities, knowledge, and skills.
100%. 23 minutes after 11, we are in conversation with Anja van Beek, who is from Anja van Beek Consulting and Coaching, and we're talking about where CVs fit into the job hunting game and how to think about it. And you can see it's not mechanical. You've got to think about its purpose. What are you trying to convey? And then there are mechanical elements to it, what to put in and what not to put in. But really, before you even start typing, you need to understand what Anja has explained so lucidly in terms of its purpose.
NetBank.
Eusebius McKaiser on your number one news and talk station.
Lots of calls, and I'm excited because it means that you haven't given up on making sure that you are as marketable as possible. Dominic, what is your question?
Hi, is that me?
Yes, Dominic, you can have a comment, a question, your own advice.
If you're declaring your disability,
yeah,
it's important to say the reasonable accommodation needed for me to perform these tasks, and that I can, let's say I have to write memos or I have to write reports, I can produce a 3-page report within 20 minutes, if I'm blind, using the whatever accessible program is necessary. Because people who hire disabled people for the first time, they have no idea how they're going to do this. So I think you need to spell that out and what your performance is while you use your reasonable accommodation. Thank you.
I'm not sure I agree entirely with Dominic, not about... Now, I agree with that needing to be raised at some point, but that's not going to go in initially in the CV, right?
No. And I mean, when the person asks about the disability, it really let my mind go, because in the end, I mean, if you look at South Africa, it is valuable if you have disabled employees in service. And as I said, it might not necessarily be why you appointed, but it might be something. If we say today is, how do I get my the interview, invited to the interview, that might benefit
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Paul, good morning.
Yeah, hi. Okay, is it Anja? I think it's Anja.
Yeah.
That's correct.
said that no, don't send the photo. But now I have a point in case. About 10 years ago, I had a colored foreman, and his sister was applying for a job. I think she might have been a nurse. And she applied to about 20, sent her CV to about 20 different places, institutions, and was completely ignored. And I said to him, I said, Bertie, her surname's Trichardt, send a photo. And she,
yes.
She sent the photo and she landed the job within a week.
Okay.
So in some cases, you really must send the photo.
Yeah, Paul, I think thank you for highlighting
thank
that.
Thank you, yeah.
And it might perhaps link to being out of the box thinker and be innovative, where if you think that will really help you to get the interview. But I think as a general rule of thumb, it's not something that I would have done. But as you said, there's an example where it works.
It's context specific, yeah. So
exactly.
Most of these rules are general, and then you tailor them for variations.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jan.
Hello.
Hello, Jan.
Hello, Anya and my dear friend Eusebius. Dear friend Eusebius. I would like to, I'm HR doctorate, whatever, and the covering letter to me is very important.
Okay.
The reason I say that is the first thing, is it a generic letter? I ignore it because it's the same thing sent to everybody. The second thing, what is important to me if the person mentions the source. I've read it in the Sunday Times of the 15th.
Okay.
I might advertise in 4 or 5 different newspapers, and that gives me an indication which gives me the best response.
Mm.
Which if I advertise in, and it also tells me this guy, you know, personalizes the document.
I get you.
So from that perspective point of view, I've stopped advertising in certain newspapers and others just because of the poor response in terms of what I'm looking for.
Okay, that's fine. That makes complete rational sense. And again, no two people will have the same level of weighting that they will put as a recruiter on that cover letter. But I can see why for you, Jan, it might make you give someone a closer look if they have the right cover letter indeed. And then a wonderfully cheeky question on Twitter from Leo, which Anya doesn't have to answer. I wonder, Eusebius, whether I should remove Grant Thornton from my CV now when I apply elsewhere. Dude, I think the same about McKinsey. Unfortunately, we all have a past, and in the digital age, we can't erase it. 11:30, we're going to spend 5 more minutes with her because there are, you won't believe it, there are some incredibly, more obviously basic things that we do need to reinforce before we say ta-ta to Anya. But for the moment...
Eusebius McKaiser on 702 and Cape Talk.
You know, my late little brother, bless his soul, I used to bribe him with money. It didn't work because he wasn't a money kind of person, so he did it just because he didn't want to upset his older brother. And I said to him, please, I don't know if the logic is that you're trying to save money, but when you SMS me, I don't want any of this shortened form and SMS language.
Yeah.
And it brings me to a question of CVs. I've seen CVs, particularly of younger people that have grown up with gadgets, where they don't write even standard grammatical form. And some of them don't even put this stuff through a spell check. And I'm sorry, call me old fashioned, but if I'm a recruiter, maybe I will overlook that. But certainly if I'm the one that sees that landing, I will think twice about hiring you.
Yeah, and I think that's so important to notice that I think is the first thing that would get your CV in the dustbin if you make spelling mistakes or grammar mistakes, especially with the technology that we have. I mean, Word, you can do your spell check and perhaps give your CV to somebody to just proofread and make sure that there's no obvious glaring mistakes.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
And don't even try and make this a political issue. I mean, I think a company that is unkind about obvious acceptable errors, you probably don't want to work for. I mean, if someone is very Afrikaans, I'm not saying Anya is very Afrikaans, but by way of example, if I can see that she is giving me anglicisme, that she is directly translating from Afrikaans, I might not hold that against her. But then there are some spelling and grammatical errors which really would have taken you 3 minutes to eliminate just with a spell check.
Yeah, and I think perhaps to end off this is to think, as we started off by saying, your CV is part of your personal brand. What does it say about you if you include spelling mistakes or grammar errors?
To me, it's right up there with not brushing your teeth.
Something like that. For sure.
Anya van Beek, where do we get all of you?
So they can get hold of me on hello@anjavanbeek.co.za. I think that would be the easiest. Just send me a mail and I would gladly respond to any questions you have about the topic we had this morning.
Fantastic stuff. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Next time you come in, we're going to talk about, or maybe, well, I don't know if we're only going to talk about it offline, but Anya and I both have a passion for mentoring.
For sure.
And in a country where we are all moaning, and rightly so, about not enough money going into skills development, poor quality of our education, workplace opportunities for upskilling are often complicated unnecessarily by companies, when in fact their own mentoring systems can do a better job to fill in gaps that are not expensive. So that's a passion which sometime after Easter we'll talk about.
Perfect. Thank you.